In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. At many places in the New Testament, when we read the passages written there and we hear about our Lord Jesus Christ as he walked upon the earth, the things he said, the things he did, there is a strange familiarity about the words he says and the things that he does, and it's a familiarity that rings with the Old Testament, many things that he does. And one in this ascension ought to ring a bell particularly, and it comes from the second book of Kings in the second chapter. We're speaking of the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the things that are familiar to us about that ascension come from the ascension of Elijah. Elijah and Elisha. Now, when Elijah comes to the end of his great and prophetic ministry, he lets Elisha know that he is going to depart from him. And right there, there ought to be a little bell that rings. And interestingly enough, as Elijah is coming to the River Jordan and Elisha is coming with him, there are sons of the prophets that keep whispering to Elisha, "Did you know that Elijah is going to depart?" And he says, "I know." And he says, "Did you know that he's going to depart?" "I know, I know." It's basically, stop it. If you read the book of John and find how many times Jesus reminds them that he's about to depart, he's about to depart. As a reader, you start saying, "I know, I know." And you start with Elijah to say those same things. And then they come to the River Jordan, and it's time, for whatever reason, for Elijah to cross over the River Jordan, a river the name of which in both Latin and Hebrew means the descent or to descend. And where does the River Jordan descend into? The Dead Sea. Okay, so now it was probably not called the Dead Sea at the time, the Salt Sea, but they knew very well that nothing lives in that salt sea. So what is he crossing over when he crosses over Jordan? He's crossing over dry shod to the other side of the River Jordan and not descending down into death. There is Elijah and Elisha following with him, insisting on coming with him to the other side. When Elijah is about to ascend into heaven, Elisha not knowing how this was going to work, Elijah asks Elisha what he would have as a gift, or as, what are the words he says? Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." Elijah says, this is a difficult thing that you ask, but nevertheless, as we hear that, we can't help but remember how when Christ is about to depart from the disciples, he says, "It's expedient for you that I go away, because if I do not go away, the Spirit will not come to you." This is ringing a bell now again. Now, when Elijah does ascend into heaven, it is a mystical experience for Elisha. And Elisha, I mean, what would it look like to have a chariot of fire carry the person that you had been spending all of your time with off into heaven? And what does he shout? He cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. I'm not sure what you would say at a time like that or what you would do. But nevertheless, that is what Elisha does. And Elijah says, take this mantle before he ascends. He gives it to Elisha, and if the double portion of the Spirit comes to you, you'll know. Elisha returns to the River Jordan, and he strikes it with the mantle as Elijah had, and calls upon the name of the Lord, and the River Jordan spreads apart again for him. He crosses to the other side and continues a ministry, a prophetic ministry of Elijah, into the future. Elijah is gone. Elisha now carries the mantle of Elijah. And we forget all about 2 Kings, and then a whole bunch of history happens, and then suddenly there's Alexander the Great, and then there's the Maccabees, and all kinds of things happen, and then Jesus comes. And he's discussing this with his disciples in the upper room. I'm going to depart from you. And it's expedient for you that I go, because the Spirit will come. And then what will your ministry be? It will be something like a double portion of my ministry. Because my ministry is local, but your ministry with the Holy Spirit filling you will depart into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. And he even says, and you will do greater things than these, like a double portion. I would love to say that I'm the first one to catch this connection. That is not true. Many church fathers have, and the Venerable Bede, our favorite, thank you, our favorite, has a beautiful little homily. And I'll just finish with you our homily today by letting you hear some of his words about this connection. He draws out even more than I do. But just know that the Feast of the Ascension is not a feast of sorrow that Christ has departed. It's a feast of rejoicing, because just like the mantle being passed to Elijah, like the mantle being passed to Elisha, Jesus ascends and sends us his Holy Spirit, his Comforter, to live amongst his church, to empower us to continue that incarnate ministry in the world. It's a feast of rejoicing. And now from the Venerable Bede. Let your love take note, my brothers, how the symbolic event agrees point by point with its fulfillment. Elijah came to the river Jordan, and having laid aside his cloak, he struck the waters and divided them. The Lord came to the stream of death, in which the human race ordinarily was immersed, and laying aside from himself for a time the clothing of flesh that he had assumed, struck down death by dying, and opened up for us the way to life by rising. The change and decline of our mortal life is properly represented by the river Jordan, since the meaning of Jordan in Latin is their descent, and since as the river flows to the Dead Sea, it loses its praiseworthy waters. After the waters of the river Jordan were divided, Elijah and Elisha crossed over on dry land. By his rising from the dead, the Savior bestowed on his faithful ones the hope of rising too. After they had crossed over the river Jordan, Elijah gave Elisha the option of asking for what he wanted. The Lord too, after the glory of his resurrection had been fulfilled, implanted in his disciples a fuller comprehension of what he had promised previously, that whatever you ask in my name, I will do for you. Elisha asked that the spirit of Elijah might become double in him. The disciples, thoroughly instructed by the Lord, desired to receive the promised gift of the Spirit, which would make them capable of preaching not only to the single nation of Judah, which he himself taught when he was present in the flesh, but to all countries throughout the globe as well. Did he not pledge the double grace of his Spirit when he said, "A person who believes in me will himself also do the works that I do, and he will do even greater ones than these"? As Elijah and Elisha were conversing together, a chariot with fiery horses suddenly snatched Elijah as if into heaven. By the chariot and fiery horses, we are to understand the angelic powers of whom it is written, "He makes the angels his spirits and his ministers a burning fire." The Lord, too, was suddenly taken up as he was speaking with his apostles, and as they were looking on, although he was not assisted by the help of angels, he was served by an angelic band of companions. He was truly assumed into heaven, with the angels also bearing witness to it, for they said to the apostles, "This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven." When Elijah was raised up into the heavens, he let the cloak with which he had been clothed fall to Elisha. When our Lord ascended into heaven, he left the mysteries of the humanity he had assumed to his disciples, to the entire church, in fact, so that it could be sanctified by them and warmed by the power of his love. Elisha took up Elijah's cloak and struck the waters of the river Jordan with it. And when he called on the God of Elijah, the waters were divided and he crossed over. The apostles and the entire church took up the sacraments of their Redeemer that had been instituted through the apostles, so that, spiritually guided by them and cleansed and consecrated by them, they too learn to overcome death's assaults by calling on the name of God the Father and to cross over to undying life, spurning the obstacles of death. The Venerable Bede. It is notable, finally, that Elisha, soon after he receives the double portion of the Spirit promised by Elisha and given to him by the Lord, the first thing he does is come to waters that are unusable, that are poisonous, essentially. And he cleanses the waters so that the waters can be used and can be even consumed. There's no way you could gather any significance of that. However, when Jesus comes back and he instructs his disciples that the Holy Spirit would come upon them, what does he command them to do but to go out into the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.